The Fan on Demand.
Very good day. I'm Nigel Reed.
And I'm Bob Yerushi.
And this is The Soccer Show on Sportsnet World and Sportsnet 590 The Fan. This week, the clock is ticking. Canada has exactly 2 years to prepare for the Women's World Cup. We'll talk to head coach John Herdman about the latest loss to the US and the road ahead to 2015. Also this week, a red on the rise. We'll chat to TFC's young Canadian midfielder Jonathan Osorio about his breakout year for club and country. Plus, is the special one still special? Can Jose Mourinho take Chelsea back to the top after a less than stellar stay in Spain? All that and more, plus your opinion. This week, right here on The Soccer Show. Have your opinion aired and shared. There are a couple of ways in which we welcome you to contribute. Or is it contribute? You can email the show, nigel@fan590.com, nigel@fan590.com, or you can simply tweet me, @Nigel_Reed, R-E-E-D, @Nigel_Reed. Talking of which, Howie has done just that, and Howie claims to have breaking news. Breaking news.
Oh, who does?
Howie does.
Howie?
Yeah. He tweeted the show. He claims to have breaking news. And he says this. At practice today, TFC just lost a walkthrough in the 87th minute. Cruel, naughty, but nice. Howie, be careful about that. No?
No, I'm not following you, Nigel.
Not following me?
No.
I'll tell you about that later.
Okay. That was very clever, but it went right over my head.
Right over?
Yeah.
Right and out over. The studio door.
Though I have no idea what you're talking about. Okay, I wish you'd explain these things before
I'll get into them.
You know.
Okay. I'll promise to do that next week with you on the show. And then we have an email from Ray. Ray's in Gatineau.
Mm-hmm.
Close to our nation's capital.
I was there.
Oh, you were?
Yes.
Do they speak English or French in Gatineau, Quebec? Or both?
Both. I went to the Museum of History.
Really?
Yes.
Le Musée d'Histoire.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making this up as I go along, as I do most weeks on this show. Nigel@fan590.com is the email address, and Ray was listening. And Ray in Gatineau says, hope you and Bob are well. Thank you, Ray, we are. He says...
Merci, Ray.
Merci, indeed. Have missed a few shows. Sorry about that, Ray, because actually the last few shows have probably been the best we've ever done.
Award-winning.
I would say so. Mm-hmm. Potentially award-winning.
Yes.
But not last week's.
No.
He didn't miss last week's.
No, he didn't miss.
When Bob... Uh-huh. Told the CSA guy to get stuffed, basically.
Oh, I didn't say that, did I?
You kind of took him to task a bit.
Yeah, he wanted to sell me that thing about writing emails.
Yes, he did. We have become a third-rate soccer team in terms of our men's national effort, according to Ray. This is why I've called it Ray's Rant. It gets better or worse, depending on which way you like to look at it. There is nowhere else on the planet that it takes this long to appoint a new national coach. We now also have kids playing where they don't keep score. That's a load of nonsense. All this stuff about going out to the community to get input is nonsense. Do they think they're going to get a Gus Hiddink, a Mourinho, a Ferguson, a Pellegrini, and on? Well, no, they're not. Who wants this job? We have a guy part-time who also manages 2nd Division Edmonton. Time for the CSA to wake up. I recall on your show, Bob having a chat with Leonard Uzzi from the Whitecaps, who insisted there's no good young talent coming out of Canada. As an expat from Glasgow... Oh, we should be doing this in a Scottish accent. Sorry, Ray. As an expat from Glasgow, I've watched Beckenbauer and Muller play. It's fantastic stuff. I'm sure we have talent out there. Time for Bob to become a director at the CSA.
Oh,
and
my.
For him, that's you, time for him to go out and push for new and better coaches around the country where they get paid a decent salary to function and monitor our kids' play. That's this week's Rant, Nigel. Thanks, Ray in Gatineau, Quebec. I hope I gave the rant the due strength and emphasis it deserved. He makes a lot of interesting points.
He does, yes. You know, my point last week was, you know, we have this amendment to the Constitution where we have now elected to go with appointed, and that breaks down the old guard of all provincial guys, which is positive. But they got to get those six people right, because you need, in my opinion, the proper input, and you still need some knowledge about the game at the board level, in my opinion. And I think we have a lot of people in this country who know the game of soccer, who have a lot of mentorship to offer, and that's why I took exception to the public relations ploy of having people write in and give the CSA their opinion on how to fix soccer in Canada, which, as our friend in Gatineau said, is ridiculous, and I really do believe it's ridiculous.
Well, is it ridiculous for the average Canadian soccer fan? I mean, with all due respect, you and many others like you, DeVos and Pesce Salido and many others who we could talk about, Wilson and others, are respected soccer voices in Canada and members of the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame. People will listen to your opinion. People will pick up the phone to you. People will answer your emails. But when it comes to the CSA, and I'm not necessarily defending the policy here, but when it comes to the Canadian Soccer Association actually reaching out to the average fan in the street and saying, tell us what you think, because they don't have that opportunity to call Ottawa and talk to a Peter Montopoli or to email, isn't that where this is really going to have some effect, to actually have some fresh ideas from just your average Canadian soccer fan who enjoys watching the national teams play, maybe follows one of the MLS teams and says, this is what I think?
It's a public relations ploy. As I said, people can offer their opinions. But in the end, what is really needed is to unite this country in a strategic plan to grow the game. And there's a lot of things that need to be sold and a lot of people that need to be bridged. And the people that, and what you need are Pied Pipers across the country who will deliver the proper message on a strategic plan that is constructed at the top and has input from, in my opinion, soccer people. And in my opinion, it's those people like the alumni that would be able to be the credible Pied Pipers to go into the communities and bridge all of these feudal lords who run, local soccer clubs without senior teams and really are not developing soccer very well, in my opinion. And we need to change that. We need to create a structure that everybody, signs off on, everybody on the same page, and then we need the credible Pied Pipers to go and sell this at the grassroots level, in my opinion.
And you and others like you are those Pied Pipers. Whether you like it or not, you are. And whether the CSA executive chooses to ignore the alumni or not, you and the McGrains and the DeVosses and the Stolteris are the Pied Pipers who have played the game at a professional level, have represented their country with pride, and should be out there selling this game. You really should. I'm sorry. I believe.
I agree. Well, I agree with that.
Of course you do.
And so when I hear, someone, and it's not against Nick Bontas, who is a tremendous guy and has a lot to offer the game and has offered a lot to the game. It isn't against an initiative that tries to have people also give their opinions, because everybody's entitled to offer their opinions, Nigel. But, this is a country that needs to be brought together, for the game of soccer and under one plan and one strategy, in my opinion.
Later in the show, we'll talk to John Herdman, who has had some success as the women's national team coach. A lot of people, Bob, think that your dream could be realized in terms of bringing the soccer community together under one banner by simply appointing one credible men's male coach with international experience and who could bring the team to a higher level, get them some sort of respectability. The next World Cup qualifying is a long way away. Could identify the young players, thanks to the Didier Rose and the De Guzmans of this world, and actually make the fans and the mainstream media sit up, take notice, and that's going to cost a lot of money for the CSA, but it depends on how ambitious it wants to be. And there is certainly an argument that can be made that if you get a respected international coach in charge of the men's national team, that goes a long way to putting credibility into Canadian soccer per se.
I agree. Only one. There's one caveat that this individual not only is going to be paid to be the coach of Canada, but he also has to be the number one salesman in terms of, you know, in terms of the credibility to the plan.
What if he doesn't speak English? How can he be a salesman?
Then I think that'd be a difficult choice to have.
Does it really matter if he can make this into a winning team? Isn't that what we really, really want?
Yeah, we would like that. But I think if we could get the Daily Double, it would be better. And the Daily Double is a great soccer coach with credibility with his team immediately to try and get them competitive. But at the same time, he also needs to sell the game because this is a country which unfortunately is third world for soccer. And we need to bring it closer to the second world.
83 is the number, by the way, in case anybody's counting. The latest FIFA world rankings are right, and Canada is 83rd. If you think that's bad, consider how they're thinking in Brazil. Yes, Brazil, where historically Brazil have been number one, maybe number two, occasionally number three. Do you know where they are in today's latest FIFA world rankings?
They're in the teens, aren't they, somewhere?
Keep going.
More.
Keep going.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow is 20 right.
What?
22.
Holy cow.
Holy cow is right.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
22. Wow.
Now, there is...
22 is a stretch.
It's a little misleading, but it's only misleading because...
They probably have the U.S. higher than them, right?
Not quite. I think U.S. is 28.
Yeah, of course.
It's a little misleading because the way the ranking systems work is you get less points if you're only playing friendlies, which is probably right. And, of course, as everybody knows, because hosts... they're hosting the World Cup in 2014. They've basically been playing friendlies, exhibition games since the World Cup in 2010. But even with that, it's a huge shock to see a Brazilian team outside the world's top 20 nations. Barely believable.
Yeah, but they haven't been impressive, Nigel, for the longest time. They haven't been impressive. They haven't got any type of, you know, strong, you know, positive results. And quite frankly, outside of Neymar, and they do have some terrific defenders that have impacted in Europe. They haven't put it together as a nation, and they've even brought back Scolari as the coach, which is a little awkward, I think. It's almost like Gibbons here with the Blue Jays. You know, it's like
the word
you've been here already.
Yeah,
you know?
The word is panic, isn't it?
I don't know. It's almost a panic.
It's almost a panic measure.
Aren't there other candidates to be considered for a nation like Brazil? I don't know.
And we think we've got problems in Canada. Yeah. And they can't find somebody to coach Brazil.
Yeah.
There you go. Interesting, isn't it? Some terrific guests coming up. I mentioned John Herb, and we're also going to talk to Jonathan Osorio, who is perhaps the silver lining for TFC this season.
Well, he is. He's a local boy, played in Clarkson from Colombian roots. Terrific story because he's... you know, Canadian through and through, proud Canadian. I spoke with Carmen Osako, who's, you know, had him in the under-20s and just raved about him. And I'm so pleased to see him doing well.
That's coming up very shortly. If you have thoughts on the show, good, bad, or ugly, then email me, nigel@fan590.com, or tweet me at nigel_reed. You're watching The Soccer Show on Sportsnet World and listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
The Soccer Show with Nigel Reed and Bobby Rushi on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
If you're one of the three men and a dog who regularly listen or watch The Soccer Show, bless you for still being there. If you're not and you've just stumbled across us while trying to find another radio station, then why not interact with us now you're here? We're so pleased that you are, because every, I want to say 12 weeks or so, the people upstairs in suits tell us how many people are listening. But I told them there's three men and a dog and a budgie called Pelé somewhere.
They don't do ratings after a certain hour. I think that's the truth. That's why we're still on after almost
after
7 years.
7 years. I think you're right.
Thank God there's no ratings.
So just to please us and just to prove to the suits upstairs that you're out there, why not interact with The Soccer Show? Email us, nigel@fan590.com, or tweet me if you can squeeze your opinion into 140 characters at Nigel_Reed @Nigel_Reed. It was a busy weekend at BMO Field last weekend. I think you were there on Saturday and we were probably there on Sunday. It was the men TFC playing Saturday and the women, which we'll get on to later, playing against the US in that rematch, or so they termed it. But let's talk about Major League Soccer. Let's talk about Toronto FC, because our guest knows all about that. Once again, the wheels kind of came off in the last 5 minutes, but Jonathan Osorio is making quite a name for himself, for his club and his country, and scored a very good goal.
Well, not only did Jonathan score a great goal, what was important was that TFC actually controlled the game, controlled the midfield.
Wow.
Something that they haven't done for most of the season.
That's why I said wow.
And this is a game that Coach Nelson probably should lament about, because it was really a game that TFC deserved to win. And I think that's the important word, deserved to win, because they were the better team.
And how many times have you
Saturday?
Said that this season?
Only a couple times, because in other occasions they have not been the better team. The reason they were the better team was because they controlled the ball, they controlled the midfield, and Jonathan Osorio was a big reason, just like he was in the second half against New England. When he came in, there was a little bit of, you know, rhythm that was built in midfield. In the first half, they couldn't put two passes together. It was ridiculous to watch them in the first half. And it has to do with skill and players who know how to play. They play with their heads up. And Osorio Silva Laba is the beginning, in my opinion, of the type of players that TFC should be employing in order for them to play attractive soccer.
I'm going to say it again. Wow. Because it's been a long, long time since I've heard you phrase something in a positive light about Toronto FC.
I tell the truth.
Oh,
I try
you
to
do.
Tell
oh, you
know,
do.
Yeah, I'm not employed by that TV station that is owned by MLSC. Mm-hmm. So I tell the truth. When a team plays well, you know, I tell it because I'm happy. I'm happy for the city. I'm happy for the game of soccer in Toronto. But when they don't play well, it should be told.
It shouldn't be sugar-coated.
No.
It shouldn't. Let's talk to Jonathan Osorio, not only now a senior professional with Toronto FC, but, if you don't mind, a Canadian international as well. What a great few months it's been. Jonathan, welcome to the Soccer Show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. We've been trying to set this up for a few weeks, and I just wanted to wait a little while to make sure that you kind of got your feet under the table and you figured out where your peg was in the locker room. And Bob knows all about where pegs are in locker rooms when you're a first-year pro, because he did it many years ago. Where was your first peg in your locker room when you joined the Cosmos? Was it sort of in between
Beck
and Bauer?
My first peg was at Lamport Stadium.
Well, I understand
actually
that.
The peg was broken. Oh, it was like
broken.
A half a peg.
Yeah.
But then when I went to New York, I actually had a stall.
So oh, you got a stall.
I didn't know that stalls existed, because I worked with pegs.
Now, Jonathan, this is a remarkable story, and we're not going to have time to tell it all tonight, but I think I'm right in saying that, what, about 9 or 10 months ago, you were playing in the Canadian Soccer League, then you got a call from Toronto FC, you were going to be in the academy, then they took you on pre-season training, then they stuck you in the first team for MLS, and then the Canadian Soccer Association said, well, you better come and play for us as well. Am I anywhere along the road right here?
Yeah. That's exactly how it went. It's been a crazy ride.
Amazing few months for you. It must be almost like you're living the dream, to coin the old phrase.
Yeah. I mean, like, I went from playing at the lowest level to playing like at the highest in North America. So it's unbelievable the way things can happen in less than a year.
Jonathan, I'm going to tell you a story. About 3 years ago or so, I met with a couple of guys in a pub in Oakville. And one of them was Gordon Sweetser, who played professional soccer. His son Jake played with you at Clarkson.
Yeah.
And I met with a couple of guys from Clarkson who talked about you and talked about going to Uruguay and sharpening your skills. Can you enlighten everybody about that whole part of your life?
Yeah, I joined Clarkson, I think, when I was 15 years old. And there's a few coaches there with South American background and past playing experience down there. And they wanted to take kids over there so that they could start a career over there, maybe. And so luckily that happened for me, and I got a chance to go down there and show show my skills, and I was lucky enough that Nacional of Uruguay liked me, and they picked me to be on their team for the next 2 years.
And you went with Lucas Cavallini, right? And also Tristan Grant, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I went with them, and as well as Josh Bertillo. There's four of us.
Yeah, because Cavallini's been scoring goals this season, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been playing very well.
I think I saw 10 goals this season. He's really, you know, maturing and enjoying himself down there. And you're down in Uruguay. I mean, obviously, the South American soccer experience or football experience is got to be, I don't know, chalk and cheese compared with what you've got used to, you know, growing up in the Toronto area.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's very, very competitive over there. And, like, you know, here, you'll have, there's 3 million people down there, and, like, more than half of them play soccer.
Yeah, I was going to say they all play soccer, probably.
Yeah, they're all really good. So, I mean, for one good player here, you have about 20 over there. So it's unbelievable. It's also, it's a different, like, they breathe soccer. It's not like here. So it's a different atmosphere. It's a really good atmosphere for playing football.
And, Jonathan, when I see you play, I see a confidence in a Canadian player that is a point of difference. And I think that confidence probably was developed because of the competitive nature of where you trained in Uruguay and obviously around the Nacional Club and all those young boys like you who want to make a living as a professional competing with you, your peers. And you've got to get to the top of the list, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think down there I learned the professional way of training and professional way of thinking as well, because, you know, soccer is a physical sport and everything, but, I mean, half of it is mental, and it's a very important part of the game. I think when I went down there, I developed the mental part of my game, which was really important to me now. And now every time I step on the field, I step with confidence, and I think that's, I've been saying, you know, this whole year, it's one of the most important things, especially as a young player, because you need to have that confidence going against people that, like, you know, can be intimidating.
Yeah, I mean, it's bound to toughen you up in that experience. It may be, a lonely and a road less traveled, but there's no substitute for that sort of experience. You've come back, not quite the finished article, but certainly a more attractive young player as far as that's concerned. And I was listening to an interview you did a few days ago with the general media up at the training ground, and one of the things I heard you say was something along the lines of the fact that, you know, you went away to come back to Canada. You're a huge fan of Canada, as a supporter, never mind a player. And there's not too many players who've said that in recent years.
No, unfortunately there's not, but I think as well, it is growing, though, and more people are starting to, you know, back up their country and everything. I think it's important. I think the more our kids back up their country and want to play for the country and hometown clubs, that's how Canadian soccer will grow and become better and more competitive in the future. So I've always been a fan, and I always know where my roots are, so... Every time, you know, I'm always going to cheer for Canada no matter what, and also for Toronto FC, because it is my hometown club.
Well, and you also learned to be a professional in the CSL last year, because you played with FC Toronto and coach Patrice Geiser. Tell us about that experience as well.
You know, that experience was a great experience for me, and it's actually like a huge step in the road to becoming a professional soccer player, because without that step, without Patrice and that team, I don't have a chance to, you know, get seen by Toronto FC Academy. So it was good. CSL actually is more competitive probably than people think, especially last year when I played for it. It's a hard league, you know, and there's very experienced players and past professionals that are very good. So I think that helped me as well. That toughened me up. And got me ready for the next step.
That's very interesting what you say, Jonathan, because the CSL, as you know, has had a lot of bad press recently, and it may be de-sanctioned next year by the CSA, and there's this age group debate that goes on. But clearly, as you say, it toughened you up and perhaps made you ready for Major League Soccer. So presumably you would be in the camp that if the option was there, that would keep the Canadian Soccer League around.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. It's great. I mean, from what I saw, it was great. It had a reserve league as well, so it had young kids, you know, developing there too. So it was the right idea, you know, for professional soccer. And I think it was great. You know, you have past professionals coming down there to play as well. And it's a good learning experience for me.
Okay, so here we are. Now we all know who Jonathan Osorio is. You know, you've made a mark in a short space of time at Toronto FC. Growing pains, of course, for the team. The new coach has come in, given you your chance. But, of course, you will know because you've been a fan and watched this team that the fans are so frustrated that this team cannot win.
Yes, I know exactly how they feel.
I bet you do.
You know... It's hard. It's really hard because the team is trying hard. And I think that we've gotten unlucky in some of these games. And if like everybody says, if you take out the last 10 minutes of every game, we'll be at the top of the table.
Yeah, but you can't do that, Jonathan. Game lasts 95 minutes.
Unfortunately, you can't do that. So, I mean, we're going to have to work on it. We'll keep working on it. I mean, it's the only thing we can do. I mean, there's not much you can say to improve that. We got to... you know, buckle up and get it done.
Talking about experience, last question because we've got to let you go, but we just about saw the reappearance of Danny Kuvermans last weekend. How much of a lift has that given the dressing room and the offensive part of what you do?
I think it's a great lift. I mean, as you saw in the game, he had an amazing standing ovation by the whole stadium. I think that also lifted the team, you know. So he's a great player. He's an established player. He's established himself in Europe. So him coming back to the team is really important. He'll add experience and he'll add more a goal scoring threat.
Jonathan, we wish you a long and successful career with Toronto FC in Canada, and yes, we look forward to talking to you many times on the Soccer Show.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
It's the best, John. It's our pleasure, Jonathan Osorio. Maybe the future of Canada. We need more like him.
Well, he's a talent, and it's refreshing to watch a young player like him play with the confidence that he showed. So continued good success to Mr. Osorio. Absolutely.
Get in touch with the Soccer Show when you want. Email me, nigel@fan590.com, or tweet me @nigel_reed. You're watching on Sportsnet World and listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Prizes like no other, from a club like no other, The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca. The Soccer Show with Nigel Reed and Bobby Roushi on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
You'll remember earlier in the Soccer Show, we mentioned the three men and a dog who regularly listen to this. Well, surprise, surprise, the dog has emailed the show.
Come on.
The dog has emailed and actually signs himself Woof at the end. He had a little help from Neil along the way. So Dog and Neil say, listen to last week's show. See, they always listen.
Yeah.
Listen to last week's show. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Bob is right. The CSA needs to shut up and let the experienced pros give their input. In this situation, the pros are ex-Canadian soccer legends such as Stolteri, Yarushi, DeVos, Bunbury, Brennan, etc. An all-Canadian league would be a start. Never mind the MLS, Vancouver, Montreal, Toronto, Ottawa and Edmonton should start their own league. It's all about promoting what is homegrown and local, right? Says the dog. Well, perhaps. Spend the money and let's hire a proper coach, one with a good track record, who can achieve results and has done so well in the past. 8-1 is still not an acceptable score in a World Cup qualifier at a professional level. I'll tell you what, this is the most articulate dog I've ever heard from.
Thank you to
the dog and to Neil. So there's a lot of people still angry and still thinking that the Canadian Soccer Association should take the alumni seriously and give it a voice. And I really don't think, and it's not just because you're sat here, it's not just because you're sat here, but I think, you know, it's not rocket science. You and others like you have played the game and want to help.
But why wouldn't they ask us?
I don't know.
You've had a guy like...
How long have you been fighting this battle now?
You've got a guy like Bruce Wilson, who's coaching at UVic for the last 25 years.
Yep.
When he played, he was the best left back, not only in Canada, but probably the whole continent. And, you know, and you're not asking him his opinion. You know, well, you want him to write an email. It's like, guys, the people with the power to influence are here in this country. Well, you just need to put a good plan and make sure senior soccer is at the top of the plan. That's where you have to input. You have to input at the top.
That would be
we have enough players playing the game at low levels. We need top levels.
We need somebody to put the cherry on the parfait.
I'm not going
to
say
oh,
it.
Oh, aren't you?
Week. No.
You're not going to say the
no,
cherry on the
I'm
parfait?
I'm not going to say it because people are making fun of me now.
Well, I wouldn't that do was, that. I would never, ever make fun of you, whether you had a cherry or a parfait. Not in a million years.
You
Let's
heard Jonathan Osorio. He's a better player today because he got a chance to play in
Uruguay.
Uruguay, but also last year he played in the Canadian Soccer League.
It toughened him up.
Okay, it's not the best league. We can do better, but it's still a senior expression league, and we need those type of, you know, environments.
I've got a feeling this conversation might go on for a few more decades yet.
It will, yeah.
And so we will leave it for tonight because we need to move on and welcome our second guest to the show.
Yes.
And welcome back one of the few Geordies who knows what he's talking about when it comes to soccer. He, of course, is John Herdman, the head coach of the Canadian women's team, who knows, and I know he knows, that today is an important day in women's soccer because 2 years from today, exactly 2 years from today, Canada will play its first match as host of the FIFA Women's World Cup 2015 in Edmonton's Commonwealth Stadium, and it'll be sold out. John, welcome back.
Hey, great to hear from you guys.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I thought I was coming on to a cookery show when I was hearing cherries on the cake and stuff like that. I'm happy to talk about some Geordie dishes if you want.
It's cherry on the parfait, John.
Oh, okay, on the parfait. Oh, that sounds too posh for a Geordie.
Yeah, I was going to say, a Geordie wouldn't... Yeah. So what is a traditional... Before we get on to the series, give us a typical Geordie dish that everybody eats and everybody knows about.
Oh, I think it'd have to be on after a Friday night on the big market. It would be chip buddy with curry sauce.
Oh, lovely. Oh, lovely.
A chip buddy with curry sauce.
Yum, yum.
There you go. We're going to hold you to this one of these days. One of these days when you're in the same place as we are. Well, 2 years to the day, and we saw, and you saw, I think, 2 years out, John, pretty much last weekend, what you have to work with. There are one or two exceptions, one or two changes, a slight tweak in formation. You are building towards 2015, so in that context, the game against the US didn't matter. But, of course, the games against the US do matter, A, because it's the US, and B, because this is one of the Tier 1 teams in women's soccer. So what did you learn from that game at BMO last weekend that you didn't already know? If anything.
I think we learned a lot. One of the big things was the experience of that whole crowd of Toronto that week. You know, our girls have come out of the Olympics, and in some ways they're like rock stars with the young female audiences. You know, we get screams when they come off the bus, and there's autographs everywhere. And then I think when you have that level of expectation, the shirt just gets a bit heavier. So what I really enjoyed about the weekend is the players generally, I don't think anyone choked out there. They got on with it, and they put on a typical Canadian-like performance. They kept going right till the end. The U.S. showed their quality in the last 25 minutes of the game. I thought up until that point, some of the things that we'd worked on to nullify the U.S. were absolutely in place.
Okay, just before I let Bob in here, and I want to hear your conversation, how would you, in a sentence, you say a typical Canadian-like performance, where exactly is that in 2013, John?
Well, I think you've got to look at it across three levels. If you want a typical performance, a Canadian-like performance, that's against the Tier 1 teams. They're truly the best teams in the world, the USA, the French, the Germans, the Japanese, where you look player for player and go... When you line our players up against them, they're going to win that battle player for player. So therefore, tactically, you've got to organise and you've got to be really disciplined to play a certain style. And I think against Tier 1 teams, you've got to go that way until, you know, we produce more players that would get onto the US roster. But if you're talking about Tier 2 teams, then, you know, teams, you know, ranked 10 and above, you know, it's a different style of play. It's a possession-based approach. It's more expansive. And I think that's the beauty with the World Cup. You'll get three different approaches from the Canadian national team based on the type of opponents that we'll play. So we've been working on these different ways, and I thought there were some real learnings against the US. We nullified some of their real attack and threats, which were a massive problem in the Olympics.
John, I couldn't agree more with you. As Nigel and I watched the game together, and the comments I was making was, I can't believe how terrible the U.S. are. And I kept saying that. I can't believe how bad they are. And it's probably because what you put into effect tactically worked and frustrated them, as you did in London in that famous game last year. And I think that what was missing perhaps was Melissa Tancredi's contribution, which was massive in England, and her form isn't there. And that didn't help Christine very much because, I mean, you can only hold and destroy so long before, you know, something is expected from our girls creatively.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, Tank's being out for 10 months at school, finishing off. I mean, that gives you an idea where
absolutely
our players are at. But I think the reality is we actually only had six shots at the Olympic Games, and we know that you only get around 4 to 6 shots against these Tier 1 teams. So we have to be ultra clinical. Tancredi's contribution in that game against the States was unbelievable. It was arguably our best game for Canada. And then you look and go, but they had 24 crosses in that game against us. They had 18 shots, a total of 38, what we call attacking acts.
Right.
So in the game recently, we reduced that to 21 throughout the 90 minutes. And by half time, they'd only had 2 shots and 4 crosses, which is unheard of for Canada against a team like the States. So for us, we feel like we're evolving. We're getting better. There was a 20-minute period, 25 minutes, where you could see we were getting sloppy on the ball and we were going to be exposed in transition. But there's something about we have to finish stronger in them 20, 25 minutes. And, you know, there's some tactical things I could have changed, I'm sure, to have made us a little bit more compact. But, hey, we live and learn. I think for 65 minutes, we got it right. And it's not exactly what the crowd want to see. But as long as the girls don't hide and they'll stay, you know, emotionally connected to the game, I think the Canadian fans will always love them. So they'll get their money's worth when we play, you know, Tier 2, Tier 3 teams in our group game in the quarterfinals. And then, you know, it's just blood and guts for the last two games.
And isn't it frustrating? And I know that Sidney Leroux was at the height of all of that silly controversy. But, I mean, the sadness is, John, it wouldn't have been nice if Christine Sinclair had Sidney Leroux to flank next to. That would have been something that would help you retain your coaching status for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's where we're at, and I can either sit and complain about it, but you know what? We're working our socks off behind the scenes to put the system in place.
Right.
And I think, you know, give Canada another 6-7 years, if we get the system a bit right, which we're working on, we'll be a force to reckon with, and people like Leroux probably won't leave our development system. So, you know, we found Kadisha Buchanan. I just wish I could put Kadisha up front with Cynthia. I might even try that one.
You know, yeah, maybe she's only 17, John. You got a chance.
you just wonder where you need her most. I think she might swap single go back over the years, and she'll come forward, so they can tag team.
Yeah, I mean, it the frustrating thing to anybody who's followed this team closely over the last few years is that I think even now, literally 2 years before you play that first match at the Commonwealth Stadium, is let's face facts, you're not going to find another Christine Sinclair in that time, because if you'd found her, we'd know about her by now. You may have found a star centre-back in Buchanan, but really you've got to work with what you pretty much have, I think, and give that as good a go as you can, and be as fit and as ready and as enthusiastic, that's not the right word, as you can 2 years from today?
Yeah. Look, I think what was good about the game is it's, and I hate saying this, but it does dampen down expectations a bit. And I think
maybe that's not a bad thing, John.
Well, I don't think it is. I mean, we could have chose to have played a completely different team on our first home game. I had the choice to play other teams, but I thought, no, let's do it. Let's get the hardest team. Let's play at home. Let's put something to bed, but at the same time, resilience builds, and we've got to get resilient in front of these crowds. And also, the crowd's got to get resilient with Canada as well. So they've got to build a resilience around our performance where they'll stick with us. And there's no point us bringing, you know, a load of Tier 3 teams to Canada just to knock in some goals. We'll do that so we can practice our other style. But I want Canada, Canadians to really go into battle with us on this and know that, look, we have to have every detail ticked, every box ticked, every stone unturned to get it right against the US. And then we'll need a crowd who are prepared when it gets tough not to go quiet but to get behind us.
Well, we certainly hope that happens. And the good news is, John, you don't have to play the US every day. Hopefully you only have to play them once in 2015, and that'll be in the FIFA Women's Cup World Cup final. John Herdman, thank you so much for joining us. The music's playing, the dance has begun, they're throwing us out again. I want to say thanks to Jonathan Osorio, I want to say thanks to John Herdman, to Dan, to Igor, and to Jennifer, and most of all to the three men and a dog who managed to find us again this week. He's Bobby Arushi, I'm Nigel Reed, so you don't have to be. Until next time, thanks for listening.